Welcome to Reading Deadly Troubadours, the weekly podcast where I, Brent Thomas, read my novel, Deadly Troubadours. Let's begin, shall we?
Chapter 8, Coal City, The Quest, 3. Jackson had kept cautious watch on the four travelers. They had mingled about, bought a few rounds of drinks, and brought up the topic of the tunnels and what might be at the top of the mountain to just about every miner who stepped into the Black Canary. They had heard truths, fictions, speculations, and bullshit about everything dimly related to the mine. Jackson wondered if they noticed how the miners inspected them. All four lacked the years of coal dust that worked its way into every crack and crevice of a person's skin and blackened it. Not just the miners, either. Women who ran the few taverns and shops had the coal dust practically tattooed into them. Kids, too young for the mine, already had smudges that would thicken and darken and worm its way into their pores. Even the washerwomen, whose arms were constantly scrubbed raw from the soaps they had used, had the dust around their eyes and in the corners of their mouths. The old men of Coal Town, with their hacking coughs and raspy, weaving voices, were several shades darker in places than even the chestnut stranger. So, even as they were bought drinks and plied with questions, the people looked at the clean skin of the strangers and knew they owed them nothing. They would mix lie with fact as they saw fit. Let the strangers sort it out. After all, strangers were only after one thing, profit, and profit in this town usually came literally off the backs of the miners. To most of the town, these strangers were just a source of free drinks and some new body jokes. The girl was a new face for the nighttime fantasies of most of the men, and several of the women warmed their husbands at night while thinking of the tall blonde bard or the exotic dark one. Jackson might be guilty of his share of impure thoughts, but more so than that, he saw the strangers as a way out. He had listened enough and even been asked some questions to which he gave non-answers to. He knew what they were looking for, and he imagined he knew his way out of this dusty, bleak town. The question was, did he care what their goal was? He took a sip of his beer. Even that tasted of coal. He decided that anything that got him out of this black rock town would be worth it. Jackson stared at the strangers' table. The smallish, dark-haired one was chatting with old Flynn on the other side of the room. The bard was in a far corner, absently strumming a rich melody. Only the girl and the chestnut-skinned one sat together. He couldn't talk to them here. Some would certainly notice if he gave them nothing but honest information. Too many by far would take note if he started to bargain for a way out of this town and out of the mines. He kept staring. How could he get them to notice? He glared at their faces, their clean and coal-free faces. Why were they sitting so far from the door? He couldn't just walk past them. Nothing and no one was on that side of the room. The dark one said something, and the pretty girl laughed. She turned her head towards his and rested her temple on his cheek. Jackson knew how to get their attention. He could only hope they would understand. He stood, stretched, raised his glass and drained it in a series of large gulps. Putting the empty glass on the edge of the bar, he strode over to the table. Still 2 meters away, he called to them, "Hey there, pretty thing. Why don't you and me go for a walk?" Her eyes glanced over at him, but her temple remained on her companion's cheek. "No," was all she offered. "Come on, little girl, don't be shy." He lurched forward. In his head, he imagined her man to come to her aid. They would struggle, and Jackson could whisper an explanation. He didn't expect for the girl's foot to shoot out from underneath the table like a viper. It stung him just above the stomach and forced all his air from him. The force made his knees buckle, and he crumpled to the security of the floor. Her companion hadn't even twitched. The few patrons who had caught the scene erupted with guffaws. Old Flynn pointed and toothless commented, "That young Jack is the town charmer!" More hoots went up in the bar. Jack struggled to find his air. He knew he was a fool. He could feel tears welling up both out of pain and from the shock of losing his way out of this life. Her cold eyes looked down at him. What could he say? "Dust! Wanted!" he gasped out. "I can imagine," she interjected, as if he sought more air. "No! Help!" Jackson looked up at the two of them. There was a desperation in them that they both recognized. Talbert stood. "I'll help you, all right. Out of this fine tavern. Another chorus of jeers went up as Talbert half-dragged the gasping Jackson out in the mud. Nothing was as entertaining as the humiliation of some young fool, especially when the fool was a friend. Outside, Talbert slung Jackson into the mud. He squatted down next to him, his face twisted in a scowl. His finger was held authoritatively in front of Jackson's face. His posture to those watching was the image of one giving a lecture on improper behavior with the threat of further punishment on the verge of being dished out. Talbert's voice, by contrast, was soft and even. "You think you know our goal and wish to help, but want it to remain secret?" Jackson nodded. "You know where we stay?" Another nod. Talbert leaned close. "Be there at the second bell after dark." A third nod. Talbert rose and returned to the bar. Jackson stretched out into the cool mud. His thoughts turned to what life could be like once he escaped the mountain and the mines. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Deadly Troubadours is now available as an ebook from Smashwords.com, Amazon.com, and Apple's online store. If you want to know more about me, Brent Thomas, you can visit my website at DeadlyTroubadour.com. You can also like me on Facebook by searching for the page Deadly Troubadours. This podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have a moment, please rate and review the show. While you are there, why not check out my other podcasts, Comics League International and Living Japan. If you want to contact me, email me at deadlytroubadour@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at deadtroubadour. Once again, thanks for listening. If you are enjoying the book, please share it with your friends. And please tune in next week for the continuing adventures of the Deadly Troubadours.